The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's the Wednesday. It's the Electoral Hangover Edition, the opening day hangover edition. And God forbid you went to Trump last night, the Donald Trump Hangover Edition. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. Halfway through the week. And, you know, election last night. Let's start there. What did we learn? What did we learn here in the great state of Wisconsin? I actually found myself enjoying the Page Six, the Journal Sentinel column of Dan Bice. You know, Dan always does his winners and losers. And, you know, today I liked it. I liked how he chose the losers, the biggest loser in particular. That was Donald Trump. But anyways, we'll come back to our pal, Dan Bice. I got a couple of pals joining me on the big show today. Dominic, of course, he comes along at 4 o'clock Central Time. You know, if you don't like, you know, your coffee without the cream, well, then join at 4. Dom will be along at 4. But I got a fine co-devil joining me at 3:30 today. My pal Earl Ingram from the Earl Ingram Show. He's going to call in. He was very distressed. What I learned today, I learned Earl's distressed. He called me, Crudy. I've been talking to national leaders in the black leaders. And I don't have as much access, certainly, as Earl does. Earl's been doing the work. He's a 70-year-old black man, as he pointed out to me. And he'll tell you, he'll remind you, I'm sure. But Earl is concerned about the enthusiasm for the election, the enthusiasm for Joe Biden, and perhaps even a little bit of enthusiasm for Donald Trump. Now, I don't see that. But, you know, we're going to talk to Earl, 3:30, host of the Earl Ingram Show, good friend of mine. We learned that Milwaukee basically held serve. Our friend David Crawley won easily. There was, you know, no late ballot dump required to push David over the edge. Mayor Chevy Johnson, he won re-election in Milwaukee easily. The attorney, Tierman Spencer, he's out, and Rep. Evan Goyke, a fine Democrat, has won that seat. So not a lot of drama there. I think they had a comptroller's race, replaced Aisha Sawa. But anyways, top of the ticket, Donald Trump had a really bad night. Bad night. Some of you are thinking, well, I thought he won. Yeah, but he had a really bad night. I was just kind of going over some of the math, and I know math doesn't always play well on the radio. I'll try to go slow. I'll try to explain my work as the teacher used to make me. You know, I used to try to do it in my head, sneak in a calculator or something. So the question is, what did we learn? And I'm going to start with Dane County. We learned that Joe Biden, very popular here in Dane County, where we live, where I live, where you're probably listening to this signal, 92.7 FM. Joe Biden garnered 82,668 votes. Dane County, including my own. I'm the eighth one. 668. It would have been 667. The uninstructed, 14.5% here in Dane County. That's a lot. That's a lot, folks. 14,489. I got to tell you, that's greater than a third of all the uninstructed here in the entire state, this protest, this anti-Gaza protest. And I've got opinions that I think the uninstructed will eventually, probably, depending on the policies between now and the November election from the Biden administration, I think they'll probably come home. And I mean home for Biden. Those that voted on the Democratic side uninstructed. Now, just for comparison's sake, here in the state capital, Dane County, or the, you know, greater Madison Metro, Donald Trump, not a popular man, not even with Republicans, not terribly popular. Donald Trump garnered 17,642 votes in Dane County. So locally, not so much. I mean, Haley got 6,644 votes, and she had suspended her campaign. And uninstructed, just for the record, on the Republican side, over 1,000, 1,085. But uninstructed, if there was a story, it's that liberal Dane County has got a lot of liberals that would support the Palestinians and aren't happy about Joe Biden's current policy and the greater U.S. policy, because obviously he sets that tone. But they aren't happy with our sort of complete support of the Israeli position and what some perceive as a genocide. So anyways, not here to talk policy at this moment. Let's talk about the greater map, the statewide map. Now, this was a presidential preference primary. In 2024, not a lot of drama, got to admit. Not a lot to get the people out to vote. I mean, it was a crappy day. It was against opening day. And ironically, Donald Trump came to town and had a little rally in Green Bay. And, you know, hundreds, perhaps thousands showed up at that rally. And someone pointed out to me, I spoke with Joe Zepecki earlier today, friend of ours, a Dem strategist. Joe said, you know, the greatest thing about that is a lot of the school board races in Green Bay were lost by 10, 15, 20 votes. And the MAGAs, the interlopers that would hope to take over education, these concerned parent MAGA sorts, they're the losers by like 15 votes per seat in the Green Bay market. And Trump was literally in the Green Bay market. And Joe said, how many potential school board race voters did Trump siphon off in Green Bay? He probably lost that school board. That was one of Joe's takeaways, is Trump probably literally through his presence helped, you know, sort of a more children first, education first, facts first school board get elected in Green Bay. You know, sort of the inside baseball stuff. Well, the surprising races, Katie Rosenberg, she's been a guest on this program. Well, she was not elected. She lost. She was a rising star for the Democratic Party in Wausau, the mayor up there. And we've had her on the show when we started the, you know, Devil's Advocates for the Love of Democracy Tour 2024. She was, you know, amongst the first stops. We went up to Wausau, Marathon County. And, you know, there was some surprise. And I think the surprise was mostly on the Democratic side because there was some money that flowed into that race on the Republican side. And it was all in support of her opponent. And they were trying to take her out. They were looking for an electoral victory. And apparently, she was more vulnerable than maybe Democrats realized. And the support came too late for Katie Rosenberg. Anyways, we'll come back to that. Daniel Bice, the winners and the losers. Well, Trump, minus 120,000 Wisconsin GOP votes. So here's my math. I'm going to support Dan's column here on page six. In 2024, Donald Trump got 475,375 votes as effectively the only Republican in the race. Although technically, Nikki Haley was on the ballot because she garnered 76,603 protest votes. That's a lot. That's 20% of Republican voters that didn't vote for Donald Trump. Well, I had to look it up. How's that compare with 2020? April 7th of 2020, we had a presidential primary, and we were going right into the throes of a pandemic. Remember? Very few people voted in person in the spring election that year. And Donald Trump had about 617,000 votes. Compare that with 475,000 yesterday. All others combined had 13,416 votes. So, same candidate. All opposition of Republicans in the state that went out and voted in the primary last time, 2020, after we had seen how this guy governed, he only bled 13,400 votes. Now he's bleeding 120,000 Republicans. 120,000, that's a huge number. So some people's takeaway is going to be the uninstructed of Joe Biden vote. Well, that was a big number, no doubt. 48,093 uninstructed. That's, you know, when you don't want to vote for Joe, but you voted Democrat effectively. I would say those are some nuanced voters. Those are some people that are paying attention. These are protest votes. These are civically active people that currently are trying to send Joe a message. Well, we'll see whether or not Joe receives the message, but just for, you know, comparison's sake, back in 2020, when we had an active presidential primary, Bernie had not dropped out yet. Waited until after Wisconsin. Obviously, the chips were starting to fall with Biden. Everyone was endorsing Biden. They didn't want the socialist win, if you'll recall. And come Super Tuesday, it was effectively Joe Biden's race. And in 2020, Joe Biden got 581,000 votes, a little bit over that. Bernie got almost 300,000. That was in 2020. Yesterday, Biden got 510,000 votes and 48,000 uninstructed. That was on opening day. That was in a crappy sleet storm. He didn't bleed that many votes. He bled 70,000 votes in 4 years. Trump bled a lot. He's down, what, 140,000? And he bled 120,000 Republican votes yesterday to something other than Donald Trump is their option, is their preferred. Also, one of the skin of the teeth passage. The school referendum in Milwaukee, that's a lot of funding. We'll ask Earl about that. He's going to join at 3:30. But that narrowly passed and then had a lot of organized opposition, like MMAC. A guy named Dale Cahuenga, former state lawmaker, Republican. His champion, he was the champion of don't fund the Milwaukee public schools. So I would put you amongst the losers yesterday. Dale, you, and certainly Donald Trump. But you're never a loser when you listen to the Devils. Stick around, more big show, more reactions, including yours.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere. Don't you
baby, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Election Hangover Edition. Have no fear, we got fine guests like Earl Ingram Jr., and I've got Dianne Hesselbein. She is the Senate Minority Leader. She's my senator. She's coming in the WMDX 92.7 FM studios. She'll join me in the studios around 4:30. Dom joins the show at 4. You can always join 844-967-2789. Any reaction to the big presidential preference election in the state of Wisconsin? Now, Dan Bice, and I would tend to agree with Bice in this regard. Dan Bice calls Donald Trump your biggest loser. Biggest loser. Bled 120,000 Republican votes. I'm going to read a little from Dan's page 6 column. We like to complain about them. Our politicians are screwing this up or wasting money on that. But when push comes to shove, we continue to keep the exact same people in power. Look at the Milwaukee Common Council and the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. Every single incumbent who ran for re-election was victorious. And for those with real competition, and some of them didn't even have that, they generally cruised to victory. Two supervisors, Peter Bergelis and Liz Sumner, even got promotion. Bergelis to the Common Council and Sumner to County Comptroller. Sorry, those aren't my electeds. I don't live in the Milwaukee County. You might know that. But anyways, back to this article, this Dan Bice, winners and losers. I'm going to get to the winners. who were the winners in Milwaukee? It was clearly Cavalier Johnson, David Crowley. They both won re-election, the mayor and the county executive. No sweat, big margins. The biggest loser, Donald Trump. I'm going to read all of this. Tuesday should have been a very good day for the former Republican president. He got a lead-in rally in Green Bay and then to send his office, his audience off to the polls to vote for him. And Trump did win. In fact, his race was called before 0.25% of the vote was in statewide. That's a pretty quick call. It bothers me when the AP and the different groups start calling the election at like 8:01. People still in line waiting to vote. But Wisconsin Republicans still aren't completely sold on Trump. How do we know? Because more than, and this is a huge number, folks, more than 120,000 Republicans in the state went to the polls on Tuesday and voted for someone other than Trump, even though all of the GOP opponents had dropped out. Now, Nikki Haley, former United Nations ambassador, pulled in more than 75,000 votes. That's nearly 13%. That's a big number, folks. A little bit more here from Bice. Bottom line, Trump has some work to do if he's going to win Wisconsin this fall, I'd say. He calls Robin Voss a winner. Voss is a winner. Assembly Speaker Voss. Now, Bice writes, despite all the criticism he takes, Voss, the Assembly Speaker, got two Republican-backed proposed constitutional amendments on the ballot and saw them through to victory. Yes, he did. Sorry, my paper keeps jumping around on me here. I apologize. I will go immediately back to what I was reading, hopefully. Here we go. So Robin Voss brought forth the two referendums, right? And he shepherded them to victory. And one Republican insider noted that Voss helped push through the two election integrity referendums that address the thing that Hader said he refused to address. He got a helping hand from the conservative MacGyver Institute and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. So these right-wing groups actually spent more than $100,000 to push referendums through, to keep outside groups from helping to fund elections in part, you know, the Zuckerbucks, right? Ironic, isn't it? Also, an attempted recall of Voss failed last month, but not all conservatives were impressed with the margin of victory. The amendments prohibit clerks from using private grants to administer elections and add that only appointed election officials can perform tasks to conduct elections. Okay. Considering they had almost no organized opposition and dealt with keeping scary money out of politics, while the proponents made a big push to get them passed, and Republicans couldn't get more than 54 and 58%, as commentator James Widgerson on the Twitter, despite the heavy GOP effort and the fear-mongering, and that's it? Exactly. That's it. In the end, amendments, particularly the second one, could lead to one more winner. Wisconsin attorneys willing to hash out the exact meaning of the broadly worded proposals in state court. Yeah, because there's going to be lawsuits. This is not well-drafted amendments to constitutional law. Dave from Madison, you've got a reaction. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us? Hey, Dave.
Oh, hi.
It's your turn.
I'm sorry, I was just speaking a little bit. I'm sitting in the car, and I'm trying to make room for this other guy in this parking spot. That's about as well I can do. But anyway, for that guy. But anyway, yeah, I think this wasn't a victory for the uncommitted vote. I think it was a sound defeat. You know, that's only in Wisconsin. It was about 8%, I believe, of the entire electorate. That's less than 1 out of 10 people. You know, if you put QAnon on the ballot, QAnon polls higher than that. And if you put Bush did 9/11, something as insane as that in Madison, that would definitely get higher than 8%.
But Dave,
I think you mentioned that.
Do you think fair to characterize those that would vote uninstructed? I don't think these are conspiracy theorists. I think they're informed electorate, and they want to see some change in the Biden policy. I've been saying all along, my friend, if you're going to do it, the primary is the time to vote against Biden. I don't think this uninstructed makes them crazy. And if you look at the math, Dave, a lot of it came from our backyard, dude. It came from Madison and Dane County, did it not? Like a third of the entire statewide appetite for uninstructed came from our liberal friends and neighbors.
Yeah, well, Madison, tragically, unfortunately, is ground zero for the anti-Israel movement. It has been for decades and decades. I know I live in Madison. I'm sitting in Madison right now. And, you know, it's not that such a radical idea to have a ceasefire. But, you know, I could get into the merits and argue that definitely it is. But, you know, that's a legitimate position, sure. But, you know, it's definitely not a great, great, great victory. And, you know, if you put, say, the election was stolen, you'd get definitely more than 8%. So this isn't any victory out of that, especially given the base of support that Israel's detractors have in Madison. That was probably even less than their base of support. So I think that was a sound defeat. And by the way, it is sort of radical if you think about it. I mean, if Biden is defeated, you know, the fate of the world is at stake in this election. Our democracy is at stake. To put something forward that could jeopardize that, in my opinion, that's pretty radical.
Dave, I appreciate your opinion. Mark Pocan, my congressman, said, you know, I can appreciate why people would vote this way. I can appreciate their objection to supporting blindly, and this is the mechanism to send a message to Joe Biden. Come on, man. I gave you permission, Dave. Protest in the primaries. That's okay. That doesn't set Joe Biden back. Not like 120,000 Republicans bleeding off of Donald Trump. Now, I got my friend Earl Ingram joining me next. But I want to point out Malcolm Nance. I go to him as my source on this. And Malcolm Nance says they got Hamas on the run. Give Israel the time to finish them off. Don't let them reconstitute during a ceasefire. That was Malcolm Nance's opinion. I've never been there. I'm trusting Malcolm. Trust me, Earl Ingram's a fine guest. He joins me next. More Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, the hangover edition, the electoral hangover edition. But it's always a good time. It's always a political party when my pal Earl Ingram joins the morning host on the Civic Media on WAUK. Give him a listen. Mornings between 8 and 10 a.m. Earl, welcome back to the Devils Advocates.
Hey, man, how you guys doing, man? It's always good to hear from you guys.
Well, Dom's not on yet. Fashionably late, he doesn't join till 4. I apologize, Earl, but you got Crudy.
Oh, okay. No.
You called me. You wanted me, man. And Earl, why are you so upset about this electoral outcome? You were calling me this morning saying, Crudy, I got to talk about this. What do you got to talk about, Earl?
Well, I have to talk about something conversation that I've been having across the nation. With African Americans who are concerned that as this critical election, presidential election, is taking shape and looks to be a dead heat right now with President Biden and Donald Trump. Many are concerned in the African American communities, which make up 13% of the nation, the national population, that they are not being heard, and that they are frustrated and concerned that here we are again. It's now 2024, and Democrats are basically saying we need your support.
Clarify what aren't we hearing you on? Start with what is the message the Democratic Party is not hearing from black voters?
Well, that's still 17% of black people in the nation in poverty at a time that we talk about the great economy. And so that may be the case for some. But in urban centers across the nation, that's not the case. And so people aren't talking about that. The Democrat, Joe Biden, to his credit, is trying to address some of these issues, but Trudy, it's not being talked about in those states. For instance, in Michigan, what's happening in Detroit is not being talked about in the states. In Ohio, Cincinnati, and what's happening with black people in those areas is not being talked about in that state. But, you know, Joe Biden, to his credit, is attempting to do some things on a national scale. And as I believe, there's going to be he's going to be visiting Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin quite a bit, because he understands how critically important the black vote is. The black vote has gone overwhelmingly for Democrats to the tune of 88% and more. And so the elder blacks who automatically voted Democratic, my parents, they're no longer here. And my generation, for the most part, that voted Democrat, you know, they're not as many of us. But younger black Democrats, they don't have that allegiance to the Democratic Party. And I think the Democratic Party should be made aware of that, because they can do all these other things and address all these other people and issues. But if they don't address the younger blacks in urban centers across the nation, I think they're missing an opportunity. It's going to come back to Biden.
Earl Ingram, my good friend. Earl, I know you've been a lifelong Milwaukeean. You were a working class guy, a union guy. Now you're a radio host, and you live in the city, and you've got neighbors who I suspect, Earl, in the neighborhoods in North Milwaukee, there's some poverty going on. I know the zip codes. You know the zip codes. So, Earl, is anybody feeling the change in those predominantly black zip codes in Milwaukee?
When you say feeling the change, you mean based on the fact that people are talking about how great the economy is?
Well, feeling the change, you tell me, Earl. What is the mood? I got to think people are,
if people are struggling,
continue to struggle, they're looking to blame someone. Now it's Biden's fault to get blamed. Is that what's happening?
Well, it's not so much that it's Biden's fault to get blamed. It is the fact that, you know, it's 4 years later and people are still suffering. And they still and now again, Democratic Party comes back again and says, "We want your vote. We need your vote. We've gotten used to your vote." And what I'm saying to you and to America is that the younger generation X and millennials aren't feeling that same commitment to Democrats as my generation and my parents' generation were. And I'm just trying to sound the alarm that it's an issue. And I've been talking to others like me across the nation, and they see the exact same thing.
But come on, man, they're not going to go vote for Donald Trump. Young black kids are not.
No, they're not.
Right? They're not going to vote for Trump. So what happens then, Earl?
No, they're not going to vote. They're not going to vote. And so, again, if 13% of the population is black, let's say 5%. Don't vote at all. In addition to all the others that don't vote in the first place, only 50% of the population votes. But if you take 5% of those who do vote away, now that's enough in a tough, tight election, Crudy, to really do some damage and some harm and maybe open the door for Donald Trump.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I've got a co-devil. He is Earl Ingram. He is the host of his own fine radio program on WAUK 540 AM in the mornings, 8 to 10 AM. Give him a listen. The Civic Media app will take you right there. Earl, there's been a significant drop off in black vote in the presidential races for the Democrats since 2008, man, maybe 2012, but since Barack Obama. I mean, he was an inspiring candidate for all of America. I mean, he was great, and he inspired. And Hillary Clinton clearly wasn't as inspirational, and she didn't turn him out in Milwaukee, and she lost. And Joe Biden, I think, won by the skin of his teeth, but in no small part that was because ultra-liberal Madison turned out, overproduced,
and help carry Joe across the finish line. But I don't know, Earl. There's no magic formula. There's no magic words that Biden can fly into Milwaukee and say to the black community and change their mind, right? It takes actions, does it not?
Yeah, so I don't want, again, this to be misconstrued as if I'm just talking about Milwaukee, Creedy. I'm talking about black America.
Yeah.
I'm talking to people from other places across the nation who see that same reality. If it was just Milwaukee, okay, no problem. But you talk about it from the perspective of they're seeing the exact same thing all over the nation. And the concern, again, is, you know, Donald Trump is clearly speaking with a forked tongue about what he's doing for blacks, and black people are looking to join forces with the Republican Party. It's every 4 years you hear the Republicans saying, well, we need to work towards bringing blacks into our tent. But it never happens. But unfortunately, there are some younger millennials and Generation X's, Crudy, that we are struggling with to get them to understand, even in the face of all these things that we're talking about, Crudy, you still are going to wind up, if you don't vote with Donald Trump, and it's going to be worse.
Yeah.
But how do you possibly get somebody who really, Crudy, hasn't lived long enough, I think, to understand the impact of what not voting would do?
Earl,
let
me ask you this. The uninstructed vote, as they called it here in the state of Wisconsin, that's 48,000 people, but 14,000 of them, you know, more than a third of that, Earl, came from liberal Dane County, right? Or about a third of it came from liberal Dane County. And, you know, statewide, you got another 25,000 people that are not feeling great about Biden and want to send him a message. But relative to the 1.6 million that voted for the guy in 2020, Earl, that's not such a bad bleed, right? There's always going to be some disaffected people within the electorate. No one's going to get 100% support as an incumbent. Even Barack Obama was less popular in 2012 than he was in 08, of course, because he had a run on a policy. But Earl, I guess I know that this president passed some bipartisan legislation. I know there have been a number of efforts to invest in the infrastructure and create jobs. And I feel like the job market is strong. But, you know, of course, it boils down to, but how's my economy? Each individual person's going to judge their own economy. And Earl, is it because the black economy is not being uplifted? What is the takeaway for the audience that, you know, maybe live in our insulated bubbles here in Dane County or in Middleton, in my case?
Well, you know, if you look at crime, and maybe people who aren't aware of the impact of what is happening in central cities, the death knell, if you will, the amount of people who are being murdered and slaughtered. And at the root of a lot of that is frustration with people who feel like they're not a part of the economy, feel like they're not a part of the society. There clearly are a lot of young people who are ill-affected, who didn't get great educations and opportunities to work in places like, you know, the kind of warehouses that are sprung up between here in Madison or between here in Kenosha and all of those kinds of places. They don't exist in the cities, in the central cities. All of that kind of business is outside of the city, and where people who could get, who with high school diplomas could access those things, there's no way for them to get there. And so inside of our cities, there's a hole where there is no opportunity outside of government opportunities, where people can work in government, where people can work in law enforcement. But as far as being able to access companies that can offer them opportunities to live an American dream, it doesn't exist. And so it's getting, that has happened now for generations. And so younger people are graduating each year and leaving without an opportunity. And so, you know, clearly fast food might be all right when you're 16, 17 years old, but it pales, Crudy, when it comes to somebody who's 22, 25 with a child.
Yeah. Earl, let me ask you.
This is the reality.
Abortion, obviously, it's been a big issue. We know it helped propel Janet Protasiewicz to an electoral victory, a much bigger victory than I think most would have predicted. Earl, do you think that issue has salience in the black community? Is it going to turn people out to vote?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
It's all about the economy. It's all about kitchen table.
Yeah, the black community is not fixated on abortion. They're fixated on survival. And so, listen, I support Joe Biden. Joe Biden is doing all that he can do, Crudy, and he's being obstructed at every turn by the Republican Party. All I'm trying to do is send a message that I think the Democratic Party should at least hear, and however they respond to it, they need to be aware that that conversation is being had in circles across the urban centers of this nation. And since Democrats vote, 80 to 90% for Democrats, I just think that that's an issue that should be talked about.
Appreciate you doing so, Earl. Thanks for the call this morning. Thanks for joining me on the show. You know, Joe Biden's coming to Madison on Monday, buddy. You could come to my hometown. Why don't you come up here and see me, Earl?
I'll be there.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right.
Folks, we are the Devils. Thanks, Earl. We are the Devils Advocates. That's Earl Ingram. He lives in Milwaukee. He's a guy that's very involved in his community, the black community, and the community of Milwaukee. And he cares a lot. I love Earl. Tune into him. 8 to 10 a.m. WAUK. Find it on the Civic Media app. But stick around. More Devils Advocates. Your phone calls could be next. 844-967-2789. An election hangover edition. Welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition, the hump day edition. Dom joining very, very soon. My state senator, Diane Hesselbein, coming in studio at 4:30 today. Want to stick around for her. She is the Senate Minority Leader, and we're going to talk about the legislative maps. I'm feeling hopeful, optimistic that they're going to change the entire political dynamic here in the state of Wisconsin. So, takeaways from last night. Joe Biden, you know, he's got some hills to climb. Donald Trump's got a big mountain to climb here in the state of Wisconsin. He bled 120,000 Republican votes. Wasn't close to that in 2020. Bled like 13,000 Republican votes. 10 times as much disappointment in his candidacy this third time around. So the winners and the losers, page six, Dan Bice. You know, I'm trying to pick and choose my spots here, so bear with me for just a second. But he did call Donald Trump the biggest loser. He said that Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, something of a winner with the help of the MacIver Institute and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, because he shepherded through these unnecessary referendums. Now, James Widgerson said, you know, disappointing outcomes. The right were the conservatives in Righty Whitey Talk Radio and the conservative infrastructure were the only ones that really cared about these referendums. Now, we discouraged you from voting yes. We told you we thought you should vote no. But we didn't spend any money. Didn't hear anybody running ads telling you, don't do it. But they literally spent $100,000 in support of constitutional referendums. And I think they're trying to set an example. So if you look for the long game of the right, you're going to see a lot more of these constitutional referendums. If they can, they're going to try to push them through because they see this as their way to A, perhaps turning their base, and B, to affecting the politics, you know, by skirting the governor and the normal channels. They found a new channel, a new means by which to do malfeasance. So, you know, watch that space in the future. Back to the page six article, loser, and I mentioned him, Dale Cahuenga. Quinga was the state rep. You know, he's that guy that stole the sign at the Wisconsin State Capitol, said his military intelligence training told him it was necessary to take it. So Quinga got caught and paid some fee, or one of his donors did, you know, sort of like Trump's donors apparently have been paying most of his legal fees. But Quinga's left the governance and moved over to the MMAC, the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. And they spent tons of money against the Milwaukee school referendum, which did pass. So loser Dale Quinga went all in opposing the $252 million referendum for Milwaukee Public Schools. Records show MMAC, again, that's Metro Milwaukee Association of Commerce, the city's business lobby dropped more than $400,000 on media and Madison-based consulting firm Platform Communications to try and block the measure. Now, Platform Communications, that's Keith Gilk's firm. That's Scotty Wanker's former firm, I believe. Now, the referendum proposal passed by a narrow 1,720 votes in Milwaukee, despite the rather inept campaign by MPS officials. Yeah, I've never found them to be terribly organized down at MPS. Earl and I have done business with them. A Democratic strategist said he didn't understand why Quinga hired Platform, a firm headed by former GOP operative Keith Gilks, to win a contest in heavily Democratic Milwaukee County. Platform appeared more effective in helping McIver and Will on the two constitutional amendments, the strategist said. Well, I bet you he still cashed all the checks. But a source close to MMAC noted that the last MPS referendum passed easily and the business group at least made this one a close contest. We were fighting an uphill, uphill battle big time. Big time, bigly. A few other winners and losers. Loser, according to Dan Bice, Josh Zebnick. A message should be getting through that Zebnick, an ex-lawmaker who lost his seat after being accused of sexual misconduct. Zebnick was beaten by Bergelis on Tuesday for a Milwaukee Aldermanic post, to borrow a line from actress Sally Field. The voters don't like you, Josh. Right now, they really don't like you. And this one stinks. This next one. Because in some way, shape, or form, Dan Bice is ready to declare the wanker a winner of last night's election. Please explain this. Opponents of Kenosha mayor candidate, mayoral candidate Dave Bogdala, did all they could to tie him to Walker, the former Republican governor, even sending out a massive mailer placing Bogdala on Team Wanker, Team Walker. But Bogdala still defeated his opponent, Linda Spotswood, a former Kenosha alderwoman, with 53% of the vote. Also a loser, according to our friend Dan Bice, Milwaukee County's website. And it says, he writes, look, folks, we've got to do better than this. The county has made major upgrades in its election website in recent years. But the entire site can't go down while the votes are being counted. It makes it look like Milwaukee officials aren't quite ready for primetime this fall. And here's a winner. The state Republican Party. Really? Really? The state GOP got involved in a number of local races despite its anemic fundraising totals and helped pull off the upset of the night by knocking off liberal Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. Behind the scenes, interestingly, top Democrats are blaming Rosenberg for her defeat. Now, I asked insiders, what the hell does that mean? And apparently, she didn't do polling soon enough. She didn't put out the alarm soon enough that this was a highly contested race, that Republicans were influencing the outcome, and perhaps the help that could have come came a little too late to help her preserve this. Her loss by less than 1,000 votes, my understanding. So that's too bad. We liked her, Katie Rosenberg. I'm sure she will, you know, have a future in politics in some way, shape, or form. And loser, Tierman Spencer. Boy, Tierman, we're going to miss you as the city attorney. You were one of a kind. City attorney to Milwaukee, Tierman Spencer had a hell of a run. A lot of misconduct allegations during his tenure. I'm not going to besmirch him. He's done playing to besmirch his own reputation. Speaking of besmirched reputations, my buddy Dominic joins us next. my little buddy. We're going to see how his electoral hangover, his opening day hangover, is doing. Sadly, the Brewers have finally lost. They're 4-1 on the big season. Lost to the Twinkies. They hung a 5 spot on them on the 7th inning. Lost, I believe, the final was 7-3. But there's always tomorrow. Hope Springs Eternal and the Devil's Advocates. We're on till 6, so stick around. Dom and State Senator, Minority Leader, Diana Hasselbein.